Let me begin by welcoming you to the November edition of Gospel Gazette and this audio segment, A Word Between Friends. Over the next few minutes, I want to talk about the moral issue of fornication. It is quite fitting that the first book of the Holy Scriptures will be called Genesis, for therein God reveals the origin of the human race. God makes known for all generations how we came into being. Consider with me the Word of God from Genesis 1, 26 through 28. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth." We learn by this passage that God made man and woman with the capacity to beget and bear children through the process of procreation, to be fruitful and multiply through the gift of human sexuality. God made man with wonderful features and natural desires, but often they are abused, perverted, and taken beyond the boundaries which God designed for their use. Think with me about the example of fire. It is helpful in a number of areas. For instance, cooking a meal, keeping us warm on a winter night. A campfire is a beautiful thing to watch. But what if you were to come home from work tomorrow and find your house engulfed in flames? That would be a different story, wouldn't it? What was good, useful, and beautiful becomes destructive when it escapes its proper boundary. Think with me about the example of water. Cool, refreshing water. There's nothing like a cold glass of water when your body is overheated. Water is useful in washing our bodies, or maybe our cars, or our clothes. It is even beautiful to look at whether you're visiting the beach or a lake, or maybe Niagara Falls. But think with me about Katrina or Ivan and the devastation created by mass flooding. You see, water, when kept within its boundaries, is good, useful, and beautiful. But look out when it escapes those boundaries. Damage is the inevitable result. My friend, so it is with human sexuality. Within the boundaries God has set forth for man, it is good, it is beautiful, it is needed, and pleasurable, and God is glorified. But when men are ruled and overcome by their passions and fleshly lust, damage by sin is the inevitable result. The Book of God, the Holy Bible, teaches us there is nothing improper about the sexual relationship between two scripturally eligible marriage partners. In fact, the inspired penman to the Hebrews writes these words about the topic. "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Hebrews 13 and verse 4. And so we ask the question, what is fornication? The term fornication in the Bible is used in a broad way as an umbrella term. The word comes from a word in the original language, porneo, from which we get the word pornography, and it is used to cover every form of illicit sexual behavior, including premarital sexual relations, extramarital relations, homosexuality, incest, bestiality, etc. Friend, please hear me and understand that God has imposed and declared boundaries for the sexual relationship, making it exclusively limited to the marriage relationship between a man and a woman who are, according to his mind and will, lawfully married. You see, most often the laws of men are more permissive, while God's law is more restrictive as to who can live with whom in marriage. So many today live in a state of adultery which God forbids and condemns, as we read a moment ago in Hebrews 13 and verse 4. How does our society today view fornication? A poll nearly a decade ago asked young adults whether they thought premarital sex was wrong. At that time, some 60% of those polled said no, they did not believe anything was wrong with it. At the same time, only 38% answered in the affirmative that they did in fact believe it was morally wrong. In our present culture, fornication is glamorized. It is trivialized, legitimized, and encouraged. Think about the movies, TV sitcoms, music, and more that literally glorify sexual immorality. It is not an exaggeration to say that our country has gone sex crazy. Our society sanctions and promotes sex before marriage and even as a recreational activity. But what does God, our Creator and Judge, how does He view fornication? He calls it sin. 1 Corinthians 6:13 says that the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. In verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. The book of God, the Bible, pictures fornication as deceptive sin. It makes promises that it cannot keep. It deceitfully claims to be a proof of one's love, but love has nothing to do with it. It is the product of lust. It claims to provide pleasure without guilt, and it promises that you can indulge yourself and no one will ever know. All of these are lies of the devil. Fornication in the Bible is clearly pictured as destructive sin. It destroys morality, purity, the home. It destroys the very fabric of society. It destroys the body through sexually transmitted diseases. It destroys the mind through guilt. And it destroys the soul if left unrepented of. And we haven't even mentioned the evil of abortion, the killing of innocent children. Friend, sin begets sin. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Thanks for sharing these few moments together with me in a consideration of this important topic. And if we can assist you in your salvation, please contact us at www.gospelgazette.com.